Gentlemen, welcome to a 23-minute long No Cash, No Code podcast. I tell you that because, listener, we are doing this just before the deadline. It's a game where the leaks are going to dominate yet again, I'm sure. I need to be ready just in case there's any news. Always more prepared than me, up at the top of the league-ish, we have Tom Maxwell. Tom, how are you?
I am doing very well, Andre. Thank you. Excited to have snuck in a quick pod. We may get some leaks. I mean, we should be doing this as a live stream, shouldn't we?
We really should. You know what? It's plans for next year, actually. I think we can get to it now. Especially the earlier deadline messes me about this one. The kids are in bed. My wife has gone out for drinks. I've managed to find some excuse why I can't make it. That's how much we love you, listener. So here we are. Speed version. What a week. This one deserves a two-hour pod. Disappointing would be the two words I'd use to describe last week. Let's relive it. So, started off with what was supposed to be the points gathering extravaganza that was Liverpool versus Brentford. Those of us who wildcarded, planned ahead, basically went, we've got all the Liverpool, this is going to be fun. And by halftime, it really wasn't fun for almost anybody. Shout out to the Salah owners who were the winners on the day overall. Nothing from the defenders with Brentford getting one. And everyone knows what happened with Darwin and with Jota. Don't want to revisit that right now. So let's power on to the other matches. Arsenal stopped at five. You know, Simpsons meme. Stop it. They're dead already. 5-0 versus Burnley in a game that was fun to watch, not going to lie. Aston Villa 2, Fulham 1. That was Ollie Watkins doing Ollie Watkins things, punishing those who'd made the wrong mistake there. I was not on that side. I was on this side. Bournemouth 2, Newcastle 2. Solanke continuing to have the season of all seasons. Nottingham Forest 2, West Ham 0 in a game that no one cared about, but suddenly everyone cares about because West Ham's coming back into our teams. Then Spurs 1, Wolves 2 in actually the most fun result for me as an Arsenal fan during the course of the game week itself. An assist for Neto, who I know is going to feature heavily in everyone's thought process at the moment. Then we have the probably most interesting game, and I'll hand this one over to Tom. Man City versus Chelsea, how was it?
Quite similar to quite a few of the big games Chelsea played in this season, and this doesn't necessarily bode well for Sunday in the cup final, but Chelsea played pretty well, I think. Certainly in the first half, good goal, had some chances, kept them relatively quiet. Second half was all City, and you know, we conceded a probably quite an unlucky goal, but could easily have conceded a good few more. Haaland certainly had his chances.
Didn't he just?
On the face of it, really good point away at City. But just continuation of a theme this season where we play bad against the bad teams, good against the good teams, and have drawn against all of the big sides, basically, other than United. So disappointing in the end, but we'll probably take a point.
Fantastic football analysis. Now, give me your FPL analysis. As a Haaland's triple captainer, how did it feel?
It was tough because on the one hand, you're thinking if City are going to score five goals against us, at least make the five goals from Haaland. I didn't have any City defenders, so the clean sheet wipeout early was lovely. And I suppose knowing that we were the first game of the double, it sort of left everything open for the Brentford game.
It didn't it just. Anyway, so there was a second 5-0 away win for Brighton. Loads of points, not one of those points being owned by anybody in the league. Gross continues to be a thorn in my side. Then we have Luton 1, Manchester United 2. He's setting records now for goals in a row, and he's finally creeping into fantasy sides there with Hoyland getting two, Garnacho getting a, you can't see this, listener, the fingers are in the air for the air quotes, assist for Garnacho. I'll take it. And then we had Crystal Palace 1, Everton 1 in probably, I would say, the most meaningless game in FPL of the week. Then we got to double time. Man City versus Brentford. Brentford managed to hold on, resist Flecken with a ridiculous 9 saves for the second time in a game against Man City. We should have seen it coming. Haaland did at least get the goal. but yet another underwhelming Trippie captain in the grand scheme of things. Although probably green arrows for those who had him versus those who didn't go with a triple captain. And then finally, the final game of the week, the final, well, salt in the wound for many. It was the scoreline we predicted. It was not the scorers. People like Elliott and Gakpo's are really not supposed to be nabbing points. The answer to the conundrum was Luis Diaz, we all found out. And Virgil owners were saved with their planning in advance. And I have one with us right now. How does it feel as a double game week?
It was grim. I mean, I as I said to you on WhatsApp, the wild card was necessary regardless, but it felt like an opportunity not only to fix the team but also to get ahead of people over the course of last week, and then this week. In the end, I suppose the only advantage was I didn't have to take any hits. I didn't have to make a transfer, which maybe sets me up better for the next couple of weeks. And I suspect we will see quite a few wild cards in the next couple of weeks, but you know, I mean, it happens every time, doesn't it, with these double game weeks? Those the Jota and Darwin assist goal in the first half an hour, and you're thinking this could be a 200 point week. Neither of them turn up for the second half, and that was the first game of the whole game week. It kind of went from there.
I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Yes, they're often an anti-climax. On my own team, I think five injuries in a week. Like one guy getting doing it in the warm-up. I mean, this is unprecedented scenes. And I think, yeah, for me, my differential was Kevin De Bruyne is my biggest disappointment. To build a team around thinking I get to have three City attackers when not many I get the chance. It hurts, but we're not ready for hurt yet. And time check, we've only got 15 minutes to go. So let's crack on. Let's do the most interesting first. It wasn't terrible for everyone. Some people had a week. Who had the team of the week?
Certainly was not terrible for everyone, Andre. We had 400 burgers this week. Congratulations to Harry, Ali, Bob, and Phil. Seriously impressive. And so we'll focus on those four, and you'll need to give me some help here in terms of figuring out the winner, because Harry, top points, 105, but with a minus four, so make that 101. Ali with 103, Bob with 102, Phil with 102. So we've got four people covered by 2 points. So it's
We
going to be tough to make a call between them. Let me give you the pros for each. So Harry, top point scorer in the week, 105, minus four, triple cap used. He brought in Virgil van Dijk and Nathan Ake for Trent and Gvardiol. So that's a plus
good transfers.
12. Ake, obviously disappointing not to get two starts from him and get the clean sheet in the second game. But Virgil, 10-pointer, really, really nice for him. He's got the Watkins and the Solanke. I think the minus four is always, you know, takes you back a bit. And so he was top point scorer, but with the minus four, I'm not giving it to him. Phil Pemberton, 102. So Phil, unlike the other three, went free hit rather than triple captain. He absolutely nailed his free hit, I think it would be fair to say, to score 102 points where and not have to use your triple captain. He was the only person out of the top 12 in the game week who didn't triple captain. So particularly if he gets his TC right in the next few weeks, then I'd suggest that that is a very, very good performance from Phil. He also had a perfect starting 11 versus his bench. Nobody you would have moved off it. So he absolutely nailed that in quite a different way to another free hit we might talk about when it comes to hurt. Then you've got Bob, just the one transfer from hit for him, Udogie to Gabriel. So that's plus six for his 102 points. Very, very, very steady week. Not many points on the bench. Absolutely cracking performance from Bob. Jumped up five places. But my team of the week, not at all biased, is Ali Maxwell, who's been an absolute tear over the last month or so. We know he came very close to winning Manager of the Month last month. He is in contention again this month. Triple captain on Haaland, 103 points, just the one transfer. And that would be the only blot on the copybook was Sterling to Doku. So minus 3 points on that. But he was also one of the very few Walker owners who, you know, double of all the double game week players that you could have brought in that anyone owned, he was certainly top of that. And he jumped up 6 places to be back in the top 10 for the first time in a few months. He's also one of the very few gross owners, someone that you and I both have been upset not to own over the last few weeks. So he beat off Bob. He was the top point scorer in the week if you include Harry's -4, and with no minus points, no hits, I'm giving team of the week to Ali Maxwell.
Well,
What do
it's
you
your
reckon?
week to call it. That's not how I'd have given it to. I would have given it to Phil Pemberton, and here's my
Yeah.
rationale. Well, the triple captain, obviously, I mean, it is what it is. It's supposed to be there. It's a 10-point buff because you use the chip there, and they both use chips. For me, it's Phil Pemberton has gone in a slightly different direction with the free hit to everyone else. His pre-free hit team is not pleasant. So they're now obviously rebuilding up towards the double game week, so it shouldn't be a reward for that. But to get 102 on the free hit for me and still have the easiest chip to play later on, we're going to see a slanky triple, I'm sure, with him afterwards. I should probably edit that out. I just really like what Phil did with this team and with the selections overall. But a chip's a chip. Your strategy is your strategy. So I think you're right. I think he shades it by one, even though I was most impressed by Phil. I do think you've made the right decision there on the team of the week.
I think particularly the Luis Diaz pick for Phil is and Dunk and Edison actually. He's gone with differentials to on his free hit. So look, I mean, you can make a very strong case for it. It's a bit of a 50-50. Zander's had quite a lot of airtime recently, so let's give it to Phil.
No. Let's definitely give it to Ali. Foreshadowing, Bill's going to be all right. So congratulations, Ali. All right. So this is now the
Tell me
correction.
about Peck.
I'm going to start with a correction. So Ricky messaged me after the last podcast, pretty soon actually after the last podcast went live. So fair play to the listener for being a quick listener on that one. And he pointed out that he had one of the top scoring players of the week and did not receive the award. We went on quite a ramble about how hard it was to find a top scoring player. I think we finished with a 7-point defender or something like that. And he was miffed because he has a differential player who scored a massive 13 points. So Ricky Singh, as I put to you on the text message at the time, I would like to apologize. Let me just take that a little step further. In the words of Conor McGregor, I'd like to apologize for absolutely nothing. Yes, you are the owner of Hoyland, but you're not the only owner of Hoyland. You need more than that. So say hello to Jeff Brown. Say hello to Michael Brown. Sub story, Jeff Brown ahead of Michael Brown. We haven't had time to talk about this. Scenes. Then there's Ricky. Then there's also Nick Mick, and there's also Rob Leach. I mean, there's five owners, my friend. You've obviously only tuned into the one episode. Since Tom has joined the podcast, Pick of the Week has a very, very fine set of filters before it gets through. And 1 of 5, despite the fact Hoyland is on a 6 for 6, is not enough. So let me get
Have you seen he's also injured now for the next 3 weeks?
most transferred player in. I mean, so Ricky, if
Seen.
anything, this on you. For drawing attention to him overall. Time check, we've got 9 minutes to go. So powering through this one, I'll just cut to the chase. It was one of the really, really difficult weeks again because so many points were scored in a week where none of the stars, none of the jotters, none of the people we expected came up. And those who did were heavily owned, like the Salas. I'm just going to quickly get this up. I don't know why I changed screens at the wrong time. Talk amongst yourselves. Here we go. Right. So you've got the likes of the Edisons. Walker's got more than one owner. Virgil doesn't quite get enough points. No one has a McAllister. No one has an Adingra. No one's got an Odegaard, surprisingly, really. There's one Gomez, but it's a João Gomez that's got the points, not an André Gomez who's on the bench for Michael Brown. No one's got Rodrigo. Havertz, I mean, we were beginning to love him, but FPL really doesn't overall. Gakpo, 17 points. I mean, I said earlier it was Luis Diaz. That was the true answer. Watkins is owned. Hoyland, we've just said. Solanke. So actually, when you go through all of the players that hit double figures, there's only one. The underappreciated, unexpected dunk that you just mentioned within Phil Pemberton's team is the highest scoring, unless Tom's going to correct me again this week, highest scoring player I can find with 12. So I think we're about to give the award anyway, or one award anyway, to Phil Pemberton. Have I missed anything?
Not that I'm aware of. That is, it's a cracking effort in a week where everyone went for the wrong doublers. Gakpo and McAllister, the highest points for Liverpool players Edison, Walker, and Akanji, the highest scoring Man City players. Lewis Dunk, great pick. A dinger, by the way. Again, another one who's sneaking heavily under the radar.
Really is.
15 more points for him. While everyone is getting themselves worked up about Neto and Chan, and I don't want to get you going on that. João Gomes is 14 points. It'd be rather funny if he does that again. But no,
Really
great
hoping
pick.
for
Great pick. Phil definitely deserves an award. Great week for him.
Fantastic. Right, let's hone in then. There's so much hurt that's not even worth talking about with rotations and stuff. My own personal spending, I can't tell you how long on a wild card at the last moment changed my mind, sticking in KDB instead of Walker. Thanks for that. What else has happened out there? There's got to be a lot of hurt, I imagine.
There is a lot of hurt, Andre. There's absolutely no doubting that whatsoever. But most of it is kind of shared hurt. It was the KDB owners, it was the Jota and Darwin owners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just wanted to pull out a couple of people very quickly. And funnily enough, if you rank them by game week, they're both next to each other. One with 79 points with a minus eight, one with 78 points on a free hit. Let's start with Andy Fisk. So we've talked about a free hit going very, very well. Andy Fisk played his free hit and ended up with 70 points. So he's lost out in the free hit battle by about 25 points there. And what he's done that Phil didn't is go for all the players on the double game weeks and all the players that people have brought in. So he's doubling up on Brentford, he's doubling up on Luton, he's tripled up on Liverpool with Diogo Jota and Darwin. 78 points isn't a bad week. It's a point less than he scored last week, so it's not ideal, but it's more the fact that on his bench, he's got Pascal Gross's 8 points, which was his second highest point scoring midfielder, and Gabriel's 6 points, which would have been his second highest pointed defender, and Shah's 3 points. And he scored more points than both Ake and Doherty's double game week as well. So to end up middle of the pack on a free hit with 17, 20 points on his bench, you forgive him, his goalkeeper, let's call it 14 points on his bench, picking Barkley and Doherty over Gross and Gabriel, that certainly is not pretty. But I think going one better than that is definitely Tom Kane. I messaged you about this pretty early in the game week. So his transfers, he took a minus eight, ended up with 79 points. And his transfers were Dominic Solanke out, Adebayo of Luton in. As we know, Solanke had a good haul. Adebayo, and I'm sorry to bring this up again, Andre, I know you haven't quite recovered from this, didn't play a single minute of the game week. He's then transferred in Darwin for Watkins. Watkins has scored 13 points. Darwin has played 45 minutes out of the 180, injured, blank game week this week as well, in a week that you're going to want Watkins for the foreseeable. And then lastly, Richarlison to De Bruyne. Now, that didn't lose him too many points because obviously Rich didn't score, but De Bruyne then only playing one of the two games, ending up with a two-pointer. When you've taken a minus eight, I haven't done the maths, but I think it's approximately at what is it, 18 points that he's lost out on, plus a minus eight as well, plus taking out Solanke and Watkins, probably the two most transferred in strikers this game week. That to me, alongside a pretty middling week overall, has to be hurt of the week.
Easily, world class hurt there, because that's the hurt that lingers, because it's that one where you're opening up your team the next week, you're like, what have I done? I think that's an easy early winner, easy winner. There's one more team I'd like to review a little bit and I'll die in seconds, because it was the only one I think that went in this direction. Talk to me about your thoughts on a certain Jamie Cork and his decision to go bench boost. Listener, actually, before I do that, let me just read out the bench, because Jamie's one of those people. I'm sure lots are going to do it this week with the auto subs and moving people around. So on his bench, technically, is a De Bruyne, a Jota, and a Foden. Obviously, that's not his true bench. I'm declaring his bench as being Maguire, Garnacho, and I can't pronounce the name of the defender, and I'm not going to embarrass myself by getting it wrong as usual, but he plays for Brentford. I'm going to claim those. That's a doubler. Maybe that one's last is controversial. No, it would have been Saliba. It would have been Saliba because he's got double Arsenal defence. So Saliba, Maguire,
and Garnacho would be his bench. So that's 11 points that he's got on his bench boost. Keeper would have been Areola. So 11-point bench boost. What do we feel about that team?
I can see why he's done it. I can absolutely see why he's done it. If you've sort of built your team towards a bench boost, and also to not have to take a hit in a week where, you know, I would suggest that people that didn't triple captain have probably won in that sense. And the team itself is really good. Like he's pretty unlucky not to have scored 100
I
plus points
mean,
in that bench boost.
that's the word I was thinking. Like, that's really unfortunate, and it must be not quite hurt worthy. But listen, he's pulled the wild card the week before to build this perfect team for a bench boost. So he's done the analysis. He only got 70 on the wild card. That's fine. He was setting up for game week 25. And then to get what is effectively the nothing burger that most of us got and be behind par for no cash, no co with 77. That's really unfortunate because it's a decent squad. It's not like he's made huge mistakes there.
Yeah, and he's gonna have to make at least one transfer this week to get 11 out as well, which means, you know, you're sort of wild carding for a bench boost, knowing you're gonna have to take a hit the following week. And he's certainly not set himself up for the blank in 29. So it's yeah, tough times. But I'd say more unlucky than poor,
Yeah,
if I'm being generous.
I'd say so. I think that's it for most of most people triple captain. I'm just checking quickly there, see the end of the line. So Jamie's one bench booster, vast majority triple captained. Big shout outs to everyone in the 80s and 90s club without using their triple captain. Probably
Yeah,
as Tom just said, the winners of the week.
Kinder definitely gets a pat on the back. He's the highest point scorer with 89 who didn't triple captain. But I suppose it does also reflect quite how good the free hit team was, that he used a chip, scored 14 points more than the next person who didn't triple captain. So again, you know,
Fantastic.
kudos there. But shout out to Kinder. That was a very decent effort. And if he goes with Solanke or maybe Salah later in the
Harlan
season, and
starts.
he gets more than good news. Haaland starting is good news all round. I must admit, I wouldn't mind if KDB was getting another rest today.
Okay, Foden Diaz also confirmed. So the leaks are coming in, what, 7 minutes before the deadline. I've got to go and tinker away. So sorry for the
Just
harsh finish there. Sorry.
one very last, very, very quick thing. Just we're going into the last week of what has been quite a long
Of
management month
course.
award for February. So just a quick rundown. Harry has put himself in very, very strong position. 7 points clear of Stephen Hill. Damien
Extra
Conte.
shout out for Harry because he's actually the person who's live tweeting to me, messaging me now what the
Good, good.
lineups
Well,
are. So, lad.
Harry, well done. Good luck for the final game week of the month. He's 7 points clear of Stephen Hill, who's 5 points clear of Damien, who's 3 points clear of Ali Maxwell. Those and then there's a big drop to Jamie. So it's probably between those four. You'd have to feel that Harry feels like he's got this almost wrapped up if he can have another decent week. But let's see where we get on, and we'll announce that next week.
On for his first ever prize in his second ever season of No Cash, No Code. And I think it's his second season of fantasy football. Third ever season of fantasy football. Wonderful scenes there. Good luck to everyone. There's no biases here, apart from Stephen Hill, because you've had enough of my money over the years. Thank you, my friend. Let's go tinker. See you on the other side of the deadline.
Good luck, Andre.